Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCSG. Peace. My apologies for that, my audio dropped. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCSG Policy Committee meeting on Tuesday, 22nd of August 2017. On call today, we have Avi Doria, Ace Fredding, Krishna Sivan, Martin Silva, Rafik Damak, Tapani Tarvainen, Tatiana Tropina, Shiva Opade. And from staff, we have myself, Mariam Bakoshi. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. And on the phone bridge, we also have Asine Tongali, Vanessa Aziama. Thank you very much, and over to you, Rafik.
Hey, thanks, Mariam, and thanks to everyone for attending today's call. Basically, as usual, in our NCAG policy call, right, as you can see in the agenda, try to go through the General Council call topics and to, in particular, the motion, so we can discuss them with the member and to plan how we should follow, how we should intervene in the council. On the other hand, we have also the policy update to plan the public comment, comments response, and also to get update from different working group review teams and so on. And we have also any other business if anyone wants to add a topic for discussion. So to note, we can start with the first agenda item, and it's the preparation for the council call. Mariam, can you please share the general council agenda, please?
Sure, I'll take 1 moment.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Mariam. And let's start with the agenda. Is it possible for me to, Okay, thanks. So you can call the agenda. As you, and please, if you are not speaking, please mute yourself to avoid the echo. Thank you. Okay, so as usual, the General Council agenda starts with the consent agenda, and this time there is nothing in particular there. But prior to that, we start by reviewing the project list, which lists all the policy development working group and also any other working group chartered by the GNSO or drafting team and so on. So just to get a status of the activity there. And you can also see under item 2, and so we will get a report about the electronic vote of the council response to the GAG communique. And that was approved in that time. And so we had that process in order to send the GNSO response prior to the board meeting so they can get that as an input for their communication with the GAC. Saying that, we can move to the next agenda item there, which is the first motion to be for the vote. It's related to the cross-community working group on internet governance. And it was a topic for discussion for several meetings, and in the last council call we had a motion submitted by a councillor from the contracted party, and it's basically asking the working group to propose a new vehicle to replace a cross-community working group structure, and to submit that proposal by ICANN meeting in Abu Dhabi. And also there will be an automatic withdrawal at that time. So in that last call, we asked for deferral so we can have a time for discussion, but most importantly because we couldn't submit our amendments to the motion in time for that call. I submitted last week some of the amendments, asking first to shift the deadline from ICANN 60, which is Abu Dhabi, to ICANN 61, which I think it's in I'm not sure Panama or Puerto Rico, and also we made the suggestion or amendments about the automatic withdrawal, that is to that the GNSO should review the proposal from the working group before withdrawal. The amendments were not seen as the friendly yet, so we are in kind of negotiation now. So I reached Keith, who submitted the motion, to see if we can work on the amendments. I think what we can get at least is the shift from ICANN 60 to ICANN 61. The automatic withdrawal seems that the kind of thing that maybe not clear yet. However, another councillor, who is Wolf Oryk from the ISP constituency, he also submitted other amendments on that matter. So the discussion for us and here for the councillor is how we should do with the amendments depending the outcome of that discussion, and how we should vote and depending of the different scenario. Personally, I think that depending of the let's say how much work the working group can need to do, we may or not deliver by ICANN 60. So shifting maybe to ICANN 61 or even before, so the decision to withdraw or not, or to approve or not, will be for ICANN-61 can be, I think, acceptable. So, looking forward here for more input from the counselor and the other members and how we should deal with this situation. So. Okay. I don't see any comment on or question on this matter. So I guess we can wait for the response from Keith Resnick about the amendment and how, what he can accept. If at least we can get the chief, I think it can be acceptable for us. If not, I'm thinking if we can defeat or not the motion, and even if we defeat, what will be the outcome of that. So here is more about yes, but I think he is okay with that, but so he was silent since like last week. I responded to him, so I pinged him again today to check what is his thought about that. So yeah, I mean, okay, we can have our six from ours, but still we need another vote from the other side or from the non-com appointee. So here it's that will be you from our part in the General Council. So before I think before really moving to defeating or not the motion, I think we should think about how we can negotiate around the amendments and what can be acceptable for us. As I said, shifting is kind of the least it's quite acceptable for us, and we can live with that. So. Okay. Any other comments on this motion, on this topic?
All I want to say is I appreciate that you've been putting in an enormous amount of work on this topic, and I really support that you've done so. I think it's very important.
Thanks, Dave. If I'm not
Hello, everyone. Raul, Rafiq just dropped, and we're trying to get him back. Apologies for that. Please hold on.
I was in disconnected for a minute, and I see Farzan is in the queue. Yes, Farzan, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafiq. Farzan Badi speaking. I came very late. I'm sorry. So I missed most of what she said. My understanding is that. So, by the way, just to reiterate that I am the NCSG representative at the CCWGIG. So my understanding is that although we change, are you going to vote on the changed motion that Marilia, you and I worked on, or is this going to be Keith's original motion?
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Farzana. So, if we, if Keith and also James accept at least some of our amendments, in particular the shift to ICANN 61 as a friendly, we don't need to vote on that. If not, I think we'll have to vote on the amendments. But I think the intent to is to really avoid the situation because we need to get some support and to not be adversarial here. So then after the amendments, some discussion, we will go to the vote for the motion. So depending of the final response from Keith, we may not need to vote on the amendments. If not, we have to vote on them, and then voting for the original motion. But another point: there was also another amendment from Warford. So I guess it will be some discussion, some negotiation before to see what will be the acceptable amendments. At the end. I hope that's clear. Okay. Saying that, and if there is no any further comment on this topic, we can move to the next one. The next motion, I think, it's quite straightforward. So what happened is that we have previously the GNSO appointed several representatives to the security, stability, resiliency of the DNS review team. However, one member or one representative has had to leave, and so it needed to be replaced. The selection, the SSE, which is the selection. Standing selection committee, how to say, went through its process to replace the representative, and that among the previous candidate, that they were not, how to say, the previous candidate, they were not selected, and so they. Before they just put a motion as a placeholder for that replacement, and they just sent a few days ago the name of the replacement, and I think it to check the name. But so it's basically kind of the council delegated the task of selection and so on to a standing committee, and that standing committee work with by full consensus with the representative of all the SG stakeholder groups and constituencies in Geneso. So we'll have, I think, just a quick discussion to check about the process and to and probably we'll just confirm the selection as it is. So I don't think it's controversial motion. However, maybe in term of process or what happened in the standing selection committee, we may ask Consule and Renata, but unfortunately they are not in the call. So Consule and Renata are our two representatives to the standing selection committee, and we are going to fill the third seat soon, and I think that what Tapani put as any other business. Okay. Any question about this motion?
Yeah, I have a question.
Yes, Dave.
So is there a placement for, this is David, okay. Is it a placement for Emily Taylor going to be from the same stakeholder group?
David, it's a good question. My understanding is that it's not replacement, if I'm not mistaken. It's not really a replacement by stakeholder group because they went through the slate of the candidate that, let's say, they were not chosen in the first round, and there were four candidates. They tried to check if they are still available. One of them said he's not any more interested, and so I think they focused on only the remaining three, and one of them is an NCUC member. So I assume they didn't replace by someone from the stakeholder group, but to be honest, I'm not sure about the affiliation of the selection from the SSC.
Thank you for the answer.
But anyway, I think we can double check for this if it was by from the same stakeholder group or not. So, okay. Taking note of this. Any other comment or question on about this motion? Okay. Yes, we can move to the next. So there was some changes in the agenda, and item 6 is saying that we're changing the name of the GNSO, but the person who proposed that previously asked it to remove it, and we had a discussion in the council list if we can replace it with the another agenda item to discuss about the new GTLD subsequent procedure working group and the new work track called work track 5 to discuss about geo names. So there was kind of a lot of there was several questions about the process in that working working track. So if it will follow the usual GNSO working methods in terms of decision-making and so on. And so it will probably that topic will be placed either under that agenda item or in or any other business. So I don't want to put someone on the spot, but if Avery can speak, depending on her connection, maybe she can give us some more information about the working work track 5 in relation to the process there and what's going on, and if what maybe any advice or suggestion what we should do at the GNSO Council level if we need to help. Yes, Avery, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Avery speaking. Hopefully I can be heard. Not that much is going on. Okay. We basically sent invitations out to the chairs of GNSO, CCNSO, GAC, and ALAC. So far we've heard back from the CCNSO, and they have assigned someone to the co-leadership role. We got back a note from ALAC indicating that they were going to, but they needed more time, and that was not surprising. We expected several of those. The GNSO, we had a conversation with the chair triumvirate, and still looking at how they're going to do it. I think we suggested that they could even use the SSC for it, but whether they do or not, I think, is up to the council, and have not heard back from the GAC yet. So that's where, and the way we're going about this is the first thing is we want to see that we've got all four groups committed to doing it. We want to get them together. We want to then create the terms of reference for that group to sort of reviewed by all. We have a very serious serious admonition from the GNSO, which makes sense, that we have to make sure that while we're doing a subgroup in a cross-community manner, that it has to remain clear that this is a GNSO PDP, and that the working group itself has final say on any recommendations that are passed on to the council. We don't know how that's going to work out with everyone, but we believe that that's what we have to do. So I've already also given an update to our liaison from the council on this, so I expect you'll be hearing the same thing or similar thing from him. I don't know of what NCSG or anyone can do about it at this point, unless you have views on how to get that, COVID or co-leader, whatever we end up calling it, assigned. But that is really the task for the GNSO now, to decide positively to appoint one and then to appoint someone. Now, we've said it doesn't really matter if they've already been a member of the group or not, but obviously it's better if they know what's going on in the subject. So that's about it.
Thanks, Avery, for this update. Maybe trying to respond to the last comment. Regarding the selection, in fact, when we received the first message from you and Jeff about asking to appoint a co-leader and so on, I asked it in the council list if we should task, or if the SSC was already tasked to select in GNSO representative. However, my question remained unanswered, so I can't ask about that again. But in terms of discussion, the kind of, let's say, maybe one or two councillors, there isn't the concern about the decision-making in the work track 5. And kind of what I sense is that maybe some groups or some people are concerned that we are going to use the cross-community working group model everywhere, and in particular for genocide policy development process. And so that's why it's kind of they are worried about that, and they probably they want to avoid the situation that that we replicate how one of the methods in the cross-community working group with regard to the vote, while in genocide working group we don't do vote usually, but we try to to check what level of consensus we reach. So this I try to respond to this concern, and I was wondering if you were invited, you and Jeff, to come to the call or not, or we are going to only get updates from the chair and vice chair of the Genocide Council and from the liaison. So, yes, Avery, is it an old or new hand?
Yeah, this, right. Well, I put it up so I could answer your question. Neither Jeff nor I was invited, but that makes sense. Because Jeff, I believe, is on vacation, and I, today I'm lucky. Today's a day off on the meetings I'm going to, so that means I actually could do other work. But tomorrow or Thursday, whenever this is, I probably wouldn't be available to join in any case. So Paul is taking the thing. Now, what we responded to them is that, yes, this is still a GNSO, this is a GNSO PDP, and the full working group does indeed have to follow the guidelines. However, you know, we're basically waiting to see how discussions go on the side at in the subgroup level to try and be creative. We do have a problem with, you know, the GAC and their participation in this. And unfortunately, if the GAC does not participate in this, it's probably a waste of time. So, you know, I think that that's something that we're going to have to deal with. Now, I doubt we're going to have voting and voting members and such, but I wanted to leave the discussion of how we organize the subgroup up to a discussion that Jeff and I will have with the four facilitators if and when they are selected. So in some sense, I think, you know, they're worrying surely, and I think that whatever we do in the subgroup is kind of beside the point if it's the full group working on strict working group principles that are guidelines that has the final say. So I know that there are people that are concerned. I think it's early to be concerned, though I understand that's kind of a meaningless thing for me to see if someone is concerned. But you know, I think that they sort of have to rely on the fact that the group itself, however a group works, the group itself remains under the guidelines. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Avery. So, it depends on many factors. So, waiting to see if the CAC participate or not. But at least in GNSO Council, we should try to advocate for the approach followed by the working group, trying to respond to this. Issues regarding GNMs, and definitely the guideline allow you to create subteams, work track, and so on, and to have kind of some creativity around it. I guess we can emphasize that you will follow the Genesis Working Group guidelines anyway, and so it's not will be, as you said, premature to be concerned about how things will go there. I would ask here, I'm asking here if there is any comment or question, because it's a good opportunity really to understand about this. Maybe it seems it's about procedure, but I think it's important and will influence how the union's discussion will go and will go in the future, and if we can get cross-community discussion on the matter. So, any question, comment? Okay. I guess we can move to the next agenda item. And it's about the review of revised and can procedure for handling queries conflicts with privacy law. So as you can maybe read in the description of that agenda item, there was before an advisory group that worked on queries conflict with, I think, local law, or local and national law. And after that, and based on that work, there was a public comment for a public consultation to get a community input. And I do think that we, as a stakeholder group, submitted a comment that was led by Aiden. And so now we are getting, as the GNSO Council, we are getting a letter from Akram Atallah from the, the GDD, if I'm not mistaken, the Generic Domain Division, with regard about the possible option and how to proceed from there. And let me share the link. Not easy. Share the link from the letter. So, as the council, we will discuss this option and see how we should proceed. So, I don't want to put people on the spot, but since they are probably most knowledgeable than me on the topic, I see that Stephanie and Aiden are on the call. Stephanie is the person who was, I think, on the advisory group, and Aiden as the person who led our comments. So, anyone, any among you want to speak on this? Oh, okay, Stephanie, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq. Stephanie Perrin for the record. I hope you can hear me. I always say this working group that I was on, the Who is Conflicts with Law, takes the prize as the silliest working group I've ever been on, but we spent months on it, and this whole exercise of putting this new trigger through the council and doing the public comment is, again, in my view, an exercise in futility. Now, the trains are kind of hitting each other in the middle of the night here, because apparently the RDS working group has received the legal opinion on the new GDPR and its impact. So, dying to see that, because it will no doubt confirm everything that I was saying on this working group and that the data commissioners said when they came to Copenhagen, that we have a much bigger problem. Now, the data commissioners were consulted by the Council of Europe for their comments
that were put in, and they basically said, are you kidding? This is a poor excuse for compliance with law. So my own view, we should have, as a council, not sent this thing forward. There's two likely scenarios. Either we go through the same sort of nonsense that we went through the last time, or we wind up striking a PDP in the fall and then abandoning it because, as the commissioners have said, this is a poor way to handle compliance with data protection law. You need a policy. You need a substantive action on the part of ICANN to comply with law. So that's my view on the matter, and I think I'm just going to keep stubbornly saying that. The letter that ACRM has sent us doesn't really, in my view, solve that logjam. Anyway, that's my view. If anybody else has a better way of going forward, I'm all ears. Thanks.
Yes, thanks, Stephanie, about the context. And definitely, the GDPR making things more complicated on this matter. Yes, David, please go ahead.
This is one of those things where all the different sort of several different ICANN processes are sort of converging in similar territory. So the legal that Stephanie talking about was not commissioned as part of this process at all, but I think she's referring to the legal advice that was commissioned as part of the next generation RDS working group. Is that right, Stephanie?
Yes, David, sorry, that's
yes. And I'd like to say, of course, I'm one of the leadership team on that working group. I have seen that legal advice. It's not yet ready the process is not yet completed. I've seen the initial sort of first result of that. And I have to say, it is going to be very helpful, I think, to those of us who hoping for this, a lot of GDPR issues to be sort of nailed down and really nailed down in a direction that is supportive of privacy and the GDPR. So I think Stephanie, at least in one capacity or another, will be seeing it pretty soon. The rest of you fairly soon, I would, but I do think that it is going to be, we're looking at that legal advice before sort of fully deciding where we move forward is probably going to be prudent. Thanks.
It's thanks, David. Yes, indeed, there are so many moving parts on the WIS and RDS issues, and so for this case, we have yes, Marian, please share the letter in Adobe Connect. So for this case, we have this idea of the trigger, and so we are getting kind of here a request for guidance. So definitely expedite or not PDP is probably not the answer, and it will be quite late. But regarding the triggers, what seems is that the letter is suggesting maybe to go back to something that it was discussing in the working group but didn't get consensus in that time. So I'm not sure about that, but if you have maybe If you can give more explanation about this trigger and what does it mean exactly, that would be really helpful. yes, Stephanie, please go ahead.
Yes, Stephanie.
Well, the trigger, and this is, you know, quite frankly, why I don't think reconstituting the group to come up with something different is going to work. Basically, the group that was struck, I believe it was at the end of 2015, was struck a volunteers group as an implementation team. So therefore, the remit was extremely narrow. The only thing we were allowed to do, and Jamie Hedlund was chairing this thing, was to find another trigger that would allow a registrar to not follow the requirements of the RAA. And there were two basic triggers here. Number one was putting personal data into the who is. And the other action was retaining data illegally under the European law, because the European data retention directive was thrown out in 2014. So these are two different parts of the RAA. So the trigger was you had to bring an order from the data protection commissioners to ICANN, and that would be submitted to legal counsel, and legal counsel would decide whether indeed you actually had broken a data protection law by complying with your contractual obligations, and then they would post for public comment and see whether you should be let off the hook to comply with law. And obviously, there are many reasons why this is unsatisfactory, not least of which is you had to break the law in order to get the letter from the data protection commissioners, because they're not in the habit of giving legal advice, you know? In other words, you can't say, hey, if I do this, would it be breaking the data protection law? That's just not the way data protection is. So our job was to come up with some other trigger other than this letter, and we trashed around and never really resolved it.
Stephanie, there is some people, someone talking. If you are not speaking, mute yourself. Please go. Please continue, Stephanie. Sorry for the interruption.
Okay, that's fine. So, basically, that was one of the proposed triggers. And so, the task that they had proposed when passing this was to accept this lame trigger, which still isn't going to work, and then reconstitute the group to come up with some other better idea, but. You know, quite frankly, I can, with 120 data protection laws in place, the European Union is not the only place where there's a problem. So our advice was grow up and get a privacy policy and change the RAA. So As the letter here said, legal opinion trigger would be a written legal opinion from a nationally recognized law firm. You know, honestly, we can get that advice and just do it and change the policy, you know, rather than forcing every registrar to go out and hire. This isn't a full employment for lawyers committee here. Anyway, I hope that explains what this kind of impasse is. The other stupid thing about this policy is ICANN made every single registrar go through the same process, even if somebody else in the same country had just proven that they had to comply with law. Obviously, there isn't one law for one registrar and a different one for a different registrar. So they all had to go through this. So it's just death by bureaucracy. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Stephanie, for the explanation. I see that Dave is in the queue, so I'm not sure if it's an on or new hand, but yes, yes, Dave, please go ahead. Okay, so I assume it was an old hand. Anyway, so this is it will be a topic for discussion for the council, so we are not going to take an action for in that time, but we should anyway, we should discuss what are the options here, and definitely that should be kind of coordinated with all the ingoing effort in RDS and the GDBR task force, and even in the implementation of EQEs and so on. So many things to kind of sync with. Okay. Any other question or comment on this one? Okay, I don't see any. So if we can move back to the agenda, please. Last item in the main agenda, it's about planning for Abu Dhabi, and so discussing about the schedule and particularly the schedule for GNSO. So we didn't receive yet the draft schedule for GNSO, I think. But what we have now is the full block schedule for ICANN meeting. As you can see, there will be several cross community or high interest topic session. So maybe you see that we have Tapani and Barzane and John, that probably you are in the planning group for Abu Dhabi. So if you can share any updates or something we should know about preparation, and also if when we need to submit meeting request. I think at least for the policy committee we'll have our usual meeting, but maybe also we can discuss if we need other session to discuss about policy topic. Okay. Anybody want to volunteer on this? Okay. Anyway, so we will wait for to see what is the draft schedule for the GNSO, and also maybe the timeline by when the stakeholder group and constituency will submit a meeting request. Moving to the next item, which is any other business. So there will be one item about the subsequent procedure working group, but as I mentioned before, probably will be moved to the beginning of the agenda. We will also have an update from the cross-community working group on accountability works to ensure, and that will be done by the co-chair from the GNSO. Okay. And, oh, I see that Stefan is in the queue. Yes, Stefan, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafiq. I just have got nothing else on the queue. I want to bring the SSC appointment. I was asked by Terry Agnew that have we decided? And as far as I can tell, we have a full consensus on the policy committee on this. So do you mind if I simply reply her? We have agreed to appoint you to the post, or do you want to have some more formal proceedings at this point, or take it over yourself or whatever? So as far as I can tell, we have agreed on that. So I could simply tell her that that's it. Does anybody object to this?
Thanks, Stefani. I was going through any other business for the general agenda, but okay, we can have this one now. So
yeah, sorry about that. I have to leave soon.
Okay, understood. No problem. Okay, so if there is any again, people are fine with that. I guess we can proceed with notification to the secretariat, but. Good. So I don't see any objection. So I guess it's okay. Tapani. So back to the any other business under the general agenda. Said so we will have also the update from the cross-community working group and accountability, and I think that's it basically, unless other topic will be added. So with that, we are done with the agenda, the council agenda, and we can move to the second agenda item of our NCSG call, which is about policy updates. And the first one is about planning for public comments response. If you check the link for the open public comment, you will find there are only two currently, which is not bad, because usually it can be really crowded. The first one is the statistical analysis of DNS abuse in GTLD report. I sent the information a few days ago and also a reminder to get volunteers, and we have already a group of volunteers, but we need, I think, more participants with different experience and knowledge about the issue. Since it's kind of it's a study, and so knowledge about statistics and analysis will be really helpful, and also check about the findings on that report. It's also, I think, important for us because this report will be used for the consumer and consumer competition and trust review team. I think it's critical for us to check such inputs, so this will be influence the result of that review team. So if anyone wants to join or participate, please tell me, because we have already started the discussion, so I can add you there. Anyway, the call for volunteers is still open. The second public comment is about the address supporting organization review final report. For this one, just a question here if it's really relevant for us to review the report and make a comment or not. Previously, we made comment on GENESO review, which makes sense since we are a part of the GENESO. We also made a comment about the ELAC review report, but also that makes sense, made sense at that time because we, as stakeholder group, were mentioned there, and so we needed to clarify some elements. But for ASO, I don't see kind of relevance here, but if anyone is interested and he can volunteer to review quickly the report and see if there is anything of interest for us, it will be really helpful, and if we can draft something. So it's just if someone wants to volunteer to go through the report and to see if there is anything of relevance for us. So, but for now, I don't see how we can we should put efforts for now. So, yes. So, yes, Stephanie, for the DNS abuse, as said, we have now several issues, but still we need more because it's kind of a said study, and we need different experiences and expertise on the matter. So if you want to join, I can add you. Okay. So that's it about the public comments. We can move now to the update from the working group. So I put a different list of working group, task force, review team, and so on. Could do something kind of relevant for us. So starting with the as we discussed before about the who is and the conflict with law. So you can see here as another aspect of the who is or, and RDS discussion is the GDPR task force. So for GDPR task force, we have three representatives from NGHG. We have Stephanie, Aiden, and Wendy. So I think Aiden maybe cannot speak because you are in this mode only. But so probably I would will ask Stephanie here if you can give a quick update about the GDPR task force.
It'll be quick, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I haven't really heard anything. You may recall that the registrars were very unhappy about opening this up to other stakeholders in ICANN, and that may account for the fact that I haven't got anything in email as to what's happening, and we're not meeting. So I really don't know anything about what's going on, and I have not checked in because, frankly, I've been too busy. There was a deadline to get responses in for potential use cases, and, of course, some of our colleagues in, for instance, the intellectual property area got a list of why they need who is data in. That is, in many ways, an overlap with what's going on in the RDS, of course. But that's really all I've got to say. I've been meaning to check in and do a more useful update on what's going on.
Okay, thanks, Stephanie. And maybe just for information, I think I'm not sure if it's an ICANN blog, they had a series about the GDPR and then GDPR task force, if I'm mistaken. So I'm trying to find the links and I will share them. So, and also maybe there is a new page of interest for those that okay, so I see that comments from Aiden talk about deadline for opportunity to comment on the suggestion from other stakeholder group. Okay, 24 is just 2 days from now. So so what do you mean that you should comment? That's only the representative, or you were expecting there was expectation that we as working group, stakeholder group to respond or to submit a comment. If I?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Apologies, my phone is ringing in the background. Yes, as I said, the laundry list of potential uses probably deserves a comment. Be quick, I think. I unfortunately am in the last week of deadline for writing my doctoral dissertation, so that has taken priority over writing things. So I don't think I can do it. But I don't think we should leave that stone unturned. We need to put something in.
Okay, thanks, Stephanie. Seems we did that somehow. Does it not like in public comment or in kind of a visible place? And if I'm not mistaken, I think Aiden asked some question for, to get input from NCAG a few weeks ago. So not sure if it was something similar. So Aiden, you can respond just in the chat just to confirm that something similar or not. Okay, different task. Okay. So let's see here. Okay, we should follow up on this service. So we are supposed to be more reactive with regard to this task force since it has more tight deadlines. Okay. We should follow up anyway, probably in the mailing list. Moving to the next item, also put who is the review team and RDS working group since they are kind of linked. So Stephanie, as you are representative with the whole user review team, and I think it's the work just started there, and also are participating in RDS working group, but also I think we have David as vice chair, if I'm not mistaken, in the RDS working group. So if you can give us some updates on what's going on there, in particular since your Johannesburg meeting. So I recall that in RDS we had discussion about the minimum set of data and so also you worked on the statement of purpose and so on. So what's the update since then, and what's the plan for Abu Dhabi meeting?
That's a good question. First at the moment, I'm going to say I don't have any travel support, so I myself might not be in the Abu Dhabi meeting. The working group is kind of rolling along. We're under some pressure from the board and so on to start improving the pace at which we are moving, because it's been very slow, hard going so far. As I said, we have received at least the first deliverable from our commissioning of legal advice from the firm WSGR. We are hoping that having resolved a lot of the legal questions to SPR, in that we have both advice from data protection authorities and now independent legal advice, a lot of the questions around exactly the legal situation with the GDPR will be relatively solid, and we can start moving on from there. There'll be no good reason not to address some of those big issues. Though we are being very careful with that, we will want to, that advice is not public yet because it's not fully finished, and we want to show it by our those members of the working group who volunteered to help us with our legal work and so on. We have been working a lot in the working group on questions about basically in Johannesburg. We were looking at questions of the minimum data set. So we were talking about data elements that we believe as a working group pretty much should be in every single, definitely mandatory for every single registration. It's similar but not exactly the same as the what we've been calling the thin WHOIS data set. But since then, we've moved on to actually looking at basically contact data and other data that is potentially personally identifying, and thus definitely comes under the purview of data protection law. That has been, again, fairly slow going. We still have disagreements over things like when data collection should be optional and when it should be mandatory. But we do think we're starting to get some move forward on that, and we'll probably be continuing that work for a few weeks yet. We're hoping, as I said, having our legal advice sorted will put us in a situation where by Abu Dhabi we've got quite a lot to talk about and quite a lot of issues fairly well decided that are currently not officially signed off from the working group. The working group doesn't have an official position. And we're still hoping that getting to the end of phase one of this marathon working group is not too far away. The progress is sort of slow at the moment. We think a lot of these legal issues nailed down could be a bit of a game changer. So that working group, it may still feel like it's a serious slog at the moment, those of us who are in it, but we're hoping things may get moving a little bit soon. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, David. Just a quick question about the working plan. Last time I checked, it said that the working group is planning to start working on initial report by Abu Dhabi. Is the working group still back for that? Or?
I wouldn't at this point like to say whether or not we will get an initial report by Abu Dhabi for sure. We're still trying, so it will be either the around that time, I should hope. But we will need to sort of pick up the pace significantly from here on, which is that I think is possible, but it's maybe optimistic to get by Abu Dhabi. Let's see how we go. But certainly that initial report would be quite a milestone. Let's hope we get there fairly soon. It really does, I think, depend a lot on whether having finally got all our legal advice settles all of these questions, or whether some of the people who might not like it will really dig their heels in. So, I mean, I don't think digging their heels in is going to do anything but sort of delay unhelpfully, but that doesn't mean what the people won't do it. So maybe by Abu Dhabi, let's try. We still haven't quite entirely given up on that. So see how we go.
Thank you. So, Stephanie, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq. I haven't seen the legal opinion yet. I'm looking forward to it. I think that this group should be aware, those who are not following this, that one of the cop-outs, shall we say, is to make it mandatory to allow an individual to optionally provide the data, in other words, with consent. And therefore, if this forms the way of moving forward and coming up with a consensus report of the group, I think it'll be very important that we oppose that, because, first of all, excessive data protection, collection, use, and disclosure is still illegal if people consent to it. That doesn't automatically make it legal. Secondly, most people are incapable of understanding the impact of putting their personal information in the WHOIS unless they live and breathe the WHOIS, and most of us don't. You know, real-world advice. Most of us get somebody else to fill the darn thing out for us, and don't realize that this value-added services industry exists, and that our cellular number is going to be sold and marketed to anybody who will buy it. So I think that's very problematic, and I'm just kind of waiting for that to spring upon us as we inch forward on this thing. So we need to have a discussion and see whether that's a consensus view. I think it's a pretty well-founded view, and but that doesn't mean that I'm going to win that argument. I didn't win it in the EWG, and it's the same guys arguing in this group. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Stephanie. And to continue with the WHOIS issues, maybe ending with that, is there any update from the review team? Knowing that the work didn't, I mean, start a few weeks ago. So.
Can you repeat that last question, Rafiq?
Okay. So, I mean, we talked about the GDPR task force, and then we went update from the RDS working group, and just said that maybe we can just, if you can finish with the WHOIS review team, and we kind of end with the discussion about RDS and WHOIS. So if you, there is any update from the review team, or just...
Oh, the review team. I actually alternate my Thursdays. One week it's WHOIS review team, and another week it's auction proceeds. So would you like me to just wrap those two together? Not that they're related. The WHOIS review team, we have been having a discussion about the scope of the WHOIS review team's activities. And this limited scope concept arose in the GNSO working group, not working group, but in the GNSO council some time ago. I think it was put forward by staff, and Susan Kawaguchi objected because the idea of a limited scope for the WHOIS review team, the argument being, of course, that there's so many other WHOIS things going on that it's a bit premature to do a full WHOIS review until the RDS working group has finished its deliberations. Well, Susan is also a vice chair of the RDS, and she's probably got a pretty good idea of how long that's going to take, measured in decades, not in years. She objected, and she is now on that WHOIS review as well. She's not the only one objecting. The GAC also objected to the reduced scope because they want us to look at, you know, their problems with accuracy and availability. Alan Greenberg is the acting chair at the moment, awaiting coronation in Abu Dhabi, and he is vigorously pushing for a limited scope. He has, however, recently decided that privacy is an issue and that maybe we might have to make some comment on privacy, but it's not clear how that would be scoped in. My own view is to not comment on the failure of WHOIS activities to deal with this problem, I think, is irresponsible. I'm not asking us to solve the problem or create policy. I'm asking us to at least make a comment and a recommendation that we not continue to punt the privacy issue down the, well, whatever the appropriate hockey rink is. I don't suppose you don't punt in a hockey rink, but you get my mangled metaphor. So that's my view on the WHOIS scope, and I apologize for the insistent person that apparently wants to reach me who's calling back. With respect to the auctions proceeds, we are also having a bit of a scoping issue there because the auction proceeds issue is shall we let ICANN replenish the reserve from the auction proceeds kitty? And you may recall, I forget the precise number, but it's about $234 million. And we had Xavier at the last meeting discussing about how we really need a year's operating expenses in the reserve and we don't have it. So the number I've heard rooted about, and again, Alan thinks it's a good idea. He was talking about $50 million going to the auction proceeds. I think, again, as a point of principle, this is sloppy bookkeeping, and you do not dive into a slush fund if you are an accountable organization to bail yourself out because you haven't done your financial planning accurately and adequately. You need to cut your expenses. Particularly if the shortage is that great, I would be wondering what the heck they did last year in their financial planning. So we've been kind of stuck on that, and to be honest, I'm not sure what's on the agenda this week for that particular item. We had a poll on this, and I am remiss in not, and again, I'm going to blame everything on the dissertation. At the end of the month, I'm free. But in the meantime, I'm going through agonies over rewrites. But I was meaning to update and get that auction working group that said it wanted to exist to actually get doing some work and review these things. I went ahead and filled out a doodle poll voting on your behalf, saying that I thought the ICANN dipping its hand in the cookie jar was not appropriate. I hope you guys don't mind, but I felt that judging from the feeling in the room at the meeting we had in Johannesburg that people would want that money to go to worthy causes, not to ICANN's reserve. Thanks.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Tiffany, and thanks for the reminder about the ad hoc groups we have now. So we have one about the auction proceeds, and please send updates there. So we have already some members at least. We have also one about GDPR, another one about anti-abuse, and we have four, so I'm trying to remember auctions here, and I forget the other one. Ah, the other one is about Unix. So if anyone wants to join one of those ad hoc groups within NCAG, so basically mailing list where people can discuss and strategize about those issues, please send me an email to Mariam to add you to this. To the mailing list. Okay. So I think we covered this. Any question or comment about the updates we get in now? Okay. So what remaining is just a list of different working group and the review team. For RPM, Martin just did that in the chat. Unfortunately, he had to leave earlier. The other one is about new GTAB subsequent procedure. So we previously went quickly about mostly to discuss about the geonames and work track 5. But the working group is also working on other issues, and as you can assume, work track 5, there are four other tracks going on. So is there anyone involved in the working group that he want to give updates or share what's going on there? Oh, yes, Alfred, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Avery. Yeah, I'm still here. Now, I haven't been paying attention to the group too much for the last 2 weeks because I've been away. But basically, the work teams are still working through the various tracks. And, you know, it's in the process. I don't think they'll be in the near future until we have our initial report, which isn't scheduled until the end of the year and may indeed slip a bit viewing the schedule over the next couple of weeks to see where we're at. I know Robin is on this call too, so she may want to add more current information, but say I have a day off today, so I'm using it to catch up on stuff. But by and large, it's just sort of moving along except for work track 5 with the GOTLD stuff. The other thing is that, there are some topics that may be posted as interesting for Abu Dhabi, including the whole community issue, which is another one of the GAC targeted issues. So I don't know if Robin has anything to add on that one, since that one is in one of her work tracks. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Avery. And yes, there is any input needed in the future, it would be great to get heads up. Yes, Robin, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq. This is Robin Grove. Can you hear me okay? Can you hear me?
Yes, Robin, we can hear you.
Okay, great.
Yes,
we can.
I just wanted to follow up on what Avery was saying there with respect to Work Team 3 that I've been a co-leader of. We've got a lot of interesting issues right now and in the next few months that we're going to be talking about in the work team discussions. So I'd really like to encourage people to join this working group. We've got issues with respect to the GAC advice, issues with respect to community applications, issues with respect to the independent objector process. So a lot of these issues that people went through during the first round here, this last round of GTLDs, we're trying to formulate, is this the right policy? Is this, how do we want to do this differently next time? So if you've got experience on these issues, if you've got opinions on these issues, and I suspect many members of our stakeholder group has a lot of opinions on some of these issues, this is a great time to join the working group, and particularly this is Work Team 3 that I'm talking about. And our next call is on the 29th, August 29th, so I guess about a week from now. So if anyone wants more information about this, just, you know, sort of ping me offline or Aubrey, or go ahead and just join the work team, because we need more people to participate in there. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Robin, for this. What we have else? There are other reviews that we don't have representative or members who are participating there in the call, so it will be really hard to get any updates. So I guess we covered the main important groups, or groups or drafting teams, review teams, and so on. But is there any policy discussion you want to share update about, or please do so? So this is an opportunity for us to know, and so we can plan for follow-up or on action on this matter. Okay. So if there's none, we are reaching really the last item in our agenda, which is any other business. We tried to discuss before about planning for Abu Dhabi meetings, since we have that as an item for discussion for GNSO Council call. But here is this to get input about any meeting request we should do for Abu Dhabi, if you want to organize a specific session in addition to the usual one we have, like in Constituency Day or the Policy Committee session and so on. Okay, if there is no further comment or question on this, so I don't want to keep you more. See that Stephanie just jumped in the queue. Yes, Stephanie, please go ahead.
Yes, Stephanie Perrin for the record. I just thought I'd say, give a grumpy old lady lecture. Seeing as how it's election time, and I've noticed people are asking what their counselors are going to do for them, and I'm a grumpy, overworked counselor who realizes that if I want people to get active on the auction proceeds and give me some input, I'm going to have to get that group going, and I'm also going to have to get going on the GDPR group. And quite frankly, as I said in one of the council candidate discussions the other day, being a counselor is a big job. There's a lot of work just keeping up with what's going on in council, doing the research, reading the documents, making sure we comment. Driving the engagement of everybody is just a job too many. You know, if people are interested in this stuff, nothing stops them from joining those working groups. Plenty have joined, but they're not doing anything. Ask a question of your representative. Like, start a discussion. Read some of the documents and then ask a question. That is what we need in terms of engagement. Don't expect busy working group chairs, co-chairs, members to prepare briefing documents that will get people engaged. We don't have enough time. We need people to roll up their sleeves and get in there. Thank you for listening, and sorry if I sound grumpy, but I think we've got some burnout happening, and I just would like to remind everybody in this time of elections that your counselors can't do everything, and neither can your chairs. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, thanks, Tiffany. nice touch to end the call. but yeah, fair enough. I think the basic idea is really to share the workload between as much as possible. As much volunteers as possible. And it should not be expectation that a few persons do most of the work, because it's not sustainable. So when we are having this NCSG call, is the purpose really to be able to get updates and share information and so on from those who are participating. And so expanding the pool of members who are participating in the working group and the policy discussion will help us, because it's kind of hard if just a few do most of the work. So okay. So I said with regard to planning for Abu Dhabi, so I guess we probably will see what session we should organize there. I think that's it. That's it for all the agenda items. And I don't see any other suggestion for a topic. Okay, so I don't want to keep you more longer on this call. Would like to free you so you can go to other activities. Thanks again, really, for joining and spending time to listen and attend this call. And hope to see you soon and continue the discussion in the NCSG. So, bye-bye and see you soon.